Good morning. Thank you for inviting me, Dickens Bessie, to share God's word with you this morning. Thank you to our two Joshuas. We have two Joshuas, Moses, in a way like we are reading the Ten Commandments, and Moses, second in command, is reciting the Ten Commandments to all of us. Today, a little bit of technical issue, not to worry. Today, the title of my sharing is TGIS. Have you heard of TGIF? Used to be a restaurant near Park, somewhere in Penang Lane. TGIS stands for Thank God It's Friday. All of us working people, and even the students, we look forward to Friday. But for us Christian, I think it should be TGIS. Thank God It's Sabbath. Because some of us, we have our Sabbath on a Saturday or Sunday. We have our Saturday service as well. Before we begin, let's commit this time to the Lord. Father, we thank you that it's really a joy and privilege we can come to worship you. You are a good, good Father. You are so good to us. Thank you that we can come to you so confidently, so joyfully, Lord. Thank you for who you are. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our Lord and our Rock. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, just now, Patricia did a bit of a Bible test. It feels a bit like school, isn't it? But let's test our memory on the Ten Commandments. The two Joshua read the Ten Commandments. So do you remember the Ten Commandments? Yeah, wow, Pat gave a resounding yes. Okay, do you guys remember the Ten Commandments? All right, let's try it. Let's do Pat used a technique of using visualization. I like her Philemon. You will never forget that, right, Philemon. And I like go eat popcorn. Because we get mixed up with the Ephesians, Galatians, which order, and you always say, go eat popcorn. Galatians, you know what I'm talking about, right? You guys are looking at me, I'm in such a strange manner. Okay, the first one, you shall have no other gods before me. So the visual for this is, he is number one, okay? Easy. What's number two? You remember? You shall not make for yourself any idol. So number two, that looks like someone bowing before an idol. That looks like a bit like a turd, isn't it? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, this side you can't see. By the way, our projector is not working. I'm sorry about that. And what's number three? Do you remember that's number three? The third commandment? Okay, Pat, I know you're the star pupil. She keeps reciting. Oh. All right, and number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And number three, it looks like lips. Luscious Kim Kardashian lips, okay? Just remember that. Okay, number four. This is the topic of my sharing today. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And number four, it looks like four corners of a television. Instead of going to church, you'll be watching TV or on your iPad. So four corners, just remember that. Next, honor your father and your mother. So I'm not sure whether parents will ever lie down like that, right? But in case they get frustrated with their children, honor your father and your mother. Number five. Or you can remember five. By the way, I have four siblings. My parents have five children. I'm the youngest out of five, so it's easy for me to remember. Okay, and sometimes parents like to, maybe that's not a good way to remember. Okay, we want to be positive. Let's do five. Maybe when your parents hold your hands, something more positive. Hold your hands, five. So honor your father and your mother. And what's number six? Do you remember? It gets a bit tricky after five. Pat, do you know what's number six? Murder. Wow, she's saying such a melancholic tone. Yes, you shall not murder. So a bomb, okay? In this current political climate, we don't want to talk about it, but you shall not murder. So it's a number six. How about number seven? Do you remember number seven? Yes, you shall not commit adultery. Very good. So like a heart shape with a number seven as a crack. Can you visualize that? So you just remember that, okay? And the second one, you shall not, number eight, you shall not steal, okay, like a robber wearing a mask. Yeah, that looks like a facial mask. But anyway, he's taking good care of his face. You shall not steal. So just remember that visual. Okay, I'm going to do a test. I won't let you leave this service until you recite. The ushers will be stationing themselves there. If you don't recite the Ten Commandments, they will not let you leave, or they will not issue complimentary car park coupons. Okay, just joking. Number nine, you shall not lie. This is easy, right? As a number nine, can you just visual that? The letter, the number nine, lying down, which some of you are feeling right now. Ugh, lying, you shall not lie. And what's number 10? You shall not covet. Very good, Atticus. You shall not covet. And a diamond ring. So can you just remember that visual? I'm going to test you guys now. Are you ready? Okay, just think it through, huh? Are you ready? Okay, what's number one? Number two? La, 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 la. Well, suddenly I become a charismatic revival. Okay, I'll help you a bit. Okay, number one, you shall not. Okay, very good. Number two. Very good. Number three, luscious lips. Yes. Number four, iPad. And number five. Okay, this is easy. Now let's do number six. You remember number six? Boosh, the bomb. Okay, you shall not murder. Adultery. Yes. Lie. And well done. Give yourself a pat on the shoulders. Well done. I think we can open the doors. Ushers, you can unlock the doors. All right. So what is, you know, of all these commandments, for us, the first few, okay, no problem. I don't lie. I don't bow to any idols. But we often neglect one of this very important commandment, which is the Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath holy. It's often a neglected one, and it's something that's a bit negotiable, isn't it? So what is the Sabbath? And interestingly, Moses, who wrote the Ten Commandments, he put in a bit of effort in explaining, in espousing this commandment. Of all the other commandments, it's just probably a few verses, a few words. But this commandment, he gave a commentary. This is what he said. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, do all your studies, your housework, your emails. But the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you shall not study. The parents are going to stone me. You shall not check your work email. You shall not open your law. We have a few lawyers here. Bring your law. I don't know, your cases. You shall not take out your vacuum cleaner. Whoa. The husbands are going to stone me. Oh, sorry. That's a very sexist. I'm sorry. This day is a very equal. Forgive me. Back in the 80s, you can say that. But now, the children will stone you. Okay. You shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, so your domestic helpers, nor your animals. Well, we don't have any farm animals this day. Nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the seas and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So, quite a few verses just to talk about one commandment. Interesting, isn't it? So, what is the biblical Sabbath? This is the definition given to... I'm going to share this definition from this author. His name is Peter Scazzero. He wrote this book and he started a movement in America. It's called The Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. 2 years ago, Bishop Reynolds invited, there was a seminar at St. James Church. Peter Scazzero came and Bishop Reynolds invited all the Anglican workers to come and learn, and probably to learn to rest and to have to be emotionally healthy. And this book really helped me a lot. And this is his definition from Peter Scazzero. He says, a 24-hour block of time which we stop work, enjoy rest, practice delight, and contemplate God. According to the Jewish law, the Sabbath starts on Friday sunset, and then it ends on Saturday sunset. So it's 24 hours. And what do? They stop work, they have a meal, they have prayers, and they just spend time with each other. They just delight in the Lord. And that's a really wonderful pattern for us as well. For us church workers, you'd be wondering, most of you, your Sabbath is on a Sunday, probably on a Saturday sundown to Sunday sundown. So we're happy that you can come together to worship together. So the church workers, when is our Sabbath? Because we are working, right? For me, it's a sundown Sunday until sundown Monday, so 24 hours. So I often pray, please don't let anyone die on my Sabbath. But of course, if God calls you on, why am I looking at this area? Sorry. Forgive me, the golden voices. Sorry. Maybe I should look at this side. So I won't. Oh, they're looking at me with such murderous eyes. I forgot. Which commandment say do not murder? Oh, the sixth commandment. Yes. Do not murder me, sorry. Yeah, okay, you know what I'm saying. So basically, I avoid checking the emails from Deaconess Bessie or the vicar. Our vicar, he likes to message us on WhatsApp. We have a WhatsApp group. So I try not to read or answer them during this 24-hour block. I know it's a bit hard, but if there's a pastoral emergency, of course I will gladly and serve that case. But usually for me, my Sabbath is on a, because our day off is on a Monday. So please try not to message us on a Monday. Bessie, Pat's Sabbath is on a Sunday. Yeah. So that is a biblical. So it's 24 hours. And this is from Peter Scazzero. Basically our secular rhythm. It's like this, isn't it? Work, 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 work. It's vacation. Work, 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 vacation. Who's looking forward to vacation next week? There's a long weekend next week, especially for our teachers. There's a holiday as well. And of course, it's a Hari Raya Haji. And who's looking forward to the September holiday? The school students, are you looking forward? I heard it's a study break, right? Oh, yeah. So all of us, and the year end is another vacation. And usually after a vacation, we plan for the next vacation, or we need a break from our vacation. You agree with me? Because you're surrounded by people. Oh, you just need to take a break. But what is God's pattern? This is God's pattern for all of us. Basically, it's Sabbath, work, Sabbath, work, Sabbath, work, Sabbath. Am I putting you guys to sleep? Sabbath. It is God's pattern, God's rhythm. And yet, sadly, we're not following it. I have a friend who owns a coffee shop. He doesn't take his Sabbath. He works 363 days a year. He only takes 2 days off during Chinese New Year. And he's about my age, but people think he's in his 50s. So it is not God's desire for us to continually to work. God's design is this. Sabbath, work, Sabbath, work, Sabbath. It's a rhythm. It slows you down. It helps you. It is healthy. It makes you emotionally healthy as well. That is God's pattern. So today, my sharing can be summarized in three letters. Number one, delight in the Lord. A, adjust our attitude and activities. And Y, yield by faith. So it's day, D-A-Y. So the first point, what does it mean to delight in the Lord? when God created the heavens and the earth, this is what he said, what's written in Genesis. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. He made the Sabbath holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. You know, when I read this, I always wondered, why must God rest? He's the God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Is he an old gentleman that, that was really hard work, creating Adam, pulling out that rib bone from him to make Eve. It's really hard work. But why do you think God had to rest on the seventh day? Again, back to the sacred rhythm. It is a pattern for all of us. And what did he do on the seventh day? Check his email. Probably he looked at the 6 days of his creation, the trees, the birds. He looks at Adam. He looks at Eve. He looks at the stars. And he just... Let me go nearer to the mic. Just enjoying his labor, his work, his creation. So for us, on the Sabbath day, may I encourage you to also enjoy creation. Take time to just rest. So what does it mean to delight in the Lord? Number one, come together in worship. This is what we're doing. And today is Friendship Sunday, and it's also a bit like Family Sunday where there's no Sunday school. So this is so encouraging. I see children, I see people of all ages coming together. This is really God's design, where we come together to worship God. And of course, spend time with family and friends. So for me, I look forward to my Sabbath, which is later at 6 p.m., because usually I have a family dinner. By the way, you know that my sister worships here at the 9 a.m. service? Okay, I don't want to embarrass her. She started to look nervously. Okay, but she's sitting at that corner. Okay, and marvel at God's creation, like how God did it on 7 a.m. Looking at the beauty of creation. In Singapore, we live in a very urban place, but there are pockets of nature which you can enjoy. I live in an apartment and we have a balcony and we have plants. And sometimes I have a potted plant in my bedroom, yeah. And I sometimes water it and I just enjoy it, watering it, and just reflecting upon, wow, this is created by God and so on. It's so amazing. Go to a botanical gardens or a park somewhere. Just marvel at God's creation. The next one is to enjoy the Sabbath without guilt. Again, it's an invitation. God is inviting you. So don't feel guilty about it. Just enjoy it. And looking forward to eternal rest. The Sabbath is a foreshadow of what we can expect when we are when we receive glorification. That means when we pass on, we go home to the Lord. We look forward to eternal rest with God. An eternal Sabbath in that sense. But in the meantime, while we are on earth, Sabbath work, Sabbath work. And we look forward to the eternal Sabbath with God. I just want to share with you, since this is an opportunity, the parents are here, the children are here. Let me ask the parents, how do you spell love? Anyone? L-O-V-E. But you know, for children, love is spelled T-I-M-E. And I just want to encourage the parents here, especially to spend time with your children. They're really precious gifts from God. They're the most precious thing. More precious than promotion, than a car, than a house, than commodities. They're gifts from God. And it says here, the greatest gift you can give your someone is your time. Because when you dedicate your time, you're offering a part of your life that you will never get back. My father was a businessman, When I was growing up, I rarely see him. And he lives in that environment and culture, so I don't really blame him. And he didn't spend much time with us. As he's older, he's now 86 years old, our relationship is not as close as we would like to be. I don't blame him because that he was raised in that environment. And so, but parents today, you have that opportunity to spend time with your children. So make every time. They grow up really fast, and eventually they, where did they go? Spend time with them. Usually when I see, when I go to the restaurants, it's kind of sad when I see families, they're all glued on their handphones instead of talking and, you know, eating and just having fun together. Yeah. So it's a good reminder for all of us. Number two, so we have delight in the Lord. The second one, A, adjust our activities and attitude. Sabbath is an invitation. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, is inviting you. He's inviting you. Such great privilege, isn't it? So just enjoy the Sabbath. Accept it faithfully and joyfully. Peter Scazzaro says, the Sabbath is an invitation to see the invisible in the visible. Let me repeat that again. Sabbath is the invitation to see the invisible in the visible. So on your Sabbath, as you come to 9 a.m. service, you look at your fellow brethren, your fellow children of God, and you see God's goodness as well. You see creation. You spend time with your family. You start to see the invisible, love, hope, faith, goodness, instead of the material, which we're often surrounded from Monday to Friday. So accept God's invitation to rest. Number two is to allow God to refresh us. Let God refresh us, not only physically, but spiritually and emotionally. Spend time to reflect. In your bulletin, the vicar wrote a very good article about impassion. These days, the modern word is probably mindfulness, about reflecting your emotional needs and so on. It's a good article for you to take home and read, to just take stock of our life as well. Just allow God to refresh us. Release all your burdens on the Sabbath, and just let God just refresh us. And number three is to avoid paid and unpaid work. I know this is going to be really tough for us Singaporeans because our identity is always on our work. Often when we meet someone new, hi, I'm so-and-so, what do you do? And if you ask a young person, hi, which school do you go to? So our identity is always based on our vocation or on our achievements. But what is Christian identity? Sabbath teaches us, it equalizes us, equalizes everyone. When we come to worship God on the Sabbath, all of us are equal. No professors, no lawyers, no engineers, no teachers, no students. We come together as God's children, worshiping our Father. And I love the songs that Anat picked today, all about Father, about faith. He's really a good God. It's an invitation to all of us. So when he invites you, make a bit of adjustment. Instead of doing your housework on a Sunday, maybe you do it on a Saturday or on a Friday. Some pre-planning needs to be done. Yeah. And emails, oh well, that's a bit hard. And sometimes these days our bosses will message us on our phone. But maybe you can tell your boss, I'm a Christian and I want to, you know, keep my sanity. Let's try. And maybe some of you are bosses and employers. Perhaps you should also set that rule for yourself and for your employees and your subordinates. And for this really touchy subject, students. Often tuition are held on a Sunday. Nothing wrong with that, you know, I see. But again, parents, let your children just enjoy their Sabbath. You know, when they don't have to go for tuition on a Sunday. It's something they look forward to, that they're going to spend time with you worshiping God. It's not that, oh, by the way, we need to rush, eat faster. There's a tuition at 1 p.m. at Funan. Oh, anyway, Funan is God. And the sad thing, again, I'm trying to be very positive here, but again, this is my observation, is that during exam week, our attendance at our children ministry goes down. And the following week, when exams is over, we ask the children, hey, we miss you, where were you? Oh, I have to study. So this is a message that we give to our children. Which is more important? God, who gave you your wisdom and your knowledge, or school, or grades? Your identity is not in your grades. It is in God. And sometimes we push the wrong message to our children. So we need to be mindful as that as well. And again, if your child don't study for 24 hours, well, what's the worst thing that can happen to him or her? Okay, he might fail. And you might blame me. You! Right? But again, in light of eternity, so what? Okay, if he studies on a Sunday, he will score an extra 5 points on that paper. From 80, he gets an 85. 10 years from now, on your child's deathbed, will it really matter what is his PSLE score on his deathbed? It doesn't matter. What matters is his character and his relationship with God. So honor that relationship. Let your children be children on Sabbath. Let them have fun. Spend time with you. So I hope you will cancel all your tuition plans on a Sunday. We might cause a dip in the tuition industry. Wow. Christian parents say no to tuition on a Sunday. Okay. That's a bit idealistic. But, you know, who knows? So just adjust our attitude as well. And you know, this is a good story. You heard it so many times about Martha and Mary. You know who invited Jesus to their house? Who? Martha or Mary? We often think it's Mary, because Mary is But actually, it's Martha. She invited Jesus. The scriptures say she welcomed Jesus. And yet, during this experience, who chose the better? Mary. Oh my goodness. Martha, who invited Jesus into her house. But she was so busy with work, she has forgotten the most important guest in the household, Jesus. Often we are like that. We put work, our identity in work, our vocation, higher than God. So Jesus had to rebuke Martha. He said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or needed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Nothing wrong with work, but Mary has chosen something better. So on your Sabbath, let's make it holy. Let's choose something better for all of us, for your children. Let's just delight in the Lord and accept that invitation. My last point, yay. Lunch is coming. Okay. It's to yield by faith. First is to really trust in God's sovereignty. Submit to God's rhythm and acknowledge our mortality and weakness. You know, friends, our time on this earth is very limited. Often we want to be like the superhero, you know. Work, work, work. Earn that extra cash for your family and so on. Those are noble thoughts. But in the end, we are limited. We are mortals. And we can do only so much. And we need to recognize that we are all children of God. We are not slaves of God. And I like that song that that Arnold chose for the first song. No longer slaves. No longer slaves to fear. You know, in Singapore, we live in a very competitive society. If your neighbor drives a better car, you need to drive an even equally better car. If your child, if your child's friend or your nephew or nieces perform better in school, there's a certain expectation. The fear of losing out. But we are different from the world. We are called to be children of God, saints. We need to learn to trust in God's sovereignty, to submit to God's rhythm. In Psalm 37, let me read that psalm for you. It's a really beautiful psalm. It says, "Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong, or who have nicest car, or who have better grades. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret. Do not be worried. Do not be anxious. When people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes." So God is inviting us to delight in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Let's learn to calm our anxious heart, our anxieties, our worries. And this is another verse that Jesus himself spoke on the Sermon on the Mount. And he did it in the context of worrying. People are worried about things of life. And this is what he said: "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." What are you worried about? It's a Sabbath day. Will you be able to release it to God? Tomorrow is big exam, big projects, a big meeting. Release it to the Lord. I want to end with this story. Let me ask this question. Do you know who won the gold medal for the 100-meter sprint during the 1924 Summer Olympics? Anyone? Take out your phone and Google it. You wouldn't know. Who won the 100-meter sprint for the Rio Olympic Games? Bolts, yeah, still fresh. No one remember who won the 100-meter sprint during the 1924 Olympics. But this man, his name is Eric Lindell. He did not win the 100-meter sprint. He was a Scottish man. He was supposed to be the fastest Scotsman. And he was a devout Christian. So he refused to run in a heat held on a Sunday, and was forced to withdraw from the 100-meter race. So can you imagine? He's the fastest man. He could have easily won that gold medal during the 1924 Paris Olympic. But he chose to honor God and keep the Sabbath holy. Oh my goodness. Right now you'll be saying, "You are a fool." Our modern mind will say, "You are a silly man. Gold medal or keep the Sabbath holy." But guess what? He chose to keep the Sabbath holy. And he refused to run during one of the hits, so he was disqualified. But now in 2017, I'm using him as an example of what an outstanding man who chose to honor God first, to put God first. But later on, he won the 400-meter race. He won the gold medal. Eric Lindell. After the Olympics, he went to China and became a missionary teacher. And he eventually died in a Japanese intern camp in China. Eric Lindell, he put God first. And you know, when he withdrew from the race, the world was mocking him. The newspaper, they were, wow, what a, so ridiculous, such a fool. And one of his team member wrote a piece of paper and passed it to him, and he quoted this verse from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 20. Those who honor me, I will honor. And Eric Lindell chose to honor God. He may not win a gold medal, the 100 meter, but today we're talking about him. He has died. He has passed on. But to me, he's a legend. And Hollywood made a movie out of him. It's called Chariots of Fire. Interesting, isn't it? He chose to put God first. He chose to make the Sabbath holy. Losing an Olympic gold medal, how much more if we, maybe an exam, or in light of eternity, those little works are not so important. Just a disclaimer for all of us. So I hope to encourage you, choose a 24-hour block. It can be any day, but preferably on a weekend, where we can come together to worship God. It can start on a Saturday, 6 p.m., then ends on Sunday, 6 p.m. So you can, you guys, students, you can study after 6 p.m. Okay, on a Sunday, something like that. Yeah, but Paul, in his letter to the Romans, he put a disclaimer. One person esteems one day as better than the other, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. So let's not be legalistic about it, yeah? So if your friend chose a Saturday as a Sabbath or a Sunday, it's all right. For me, I chose, again, you need to write this down for all the church workers. Our day off is on a Monday. You can still email us, but we will probably reply to you on a Tuesday. So please, we seek your understanding. But again, if you choose to die, it's all right. We will come and attend to you. Or if you're sick, please, yeah, don't feel guilty getting sick on a Monday. Oh, because I can't be sick, the church won't be coming to on my deathbed. Don't worry, yeah, we will be there. Yeah, or we'll send one of your connect group leader. That's why it's important to join the connect group. Okay, that's another sermon. All right. Hopefully, please do not join the connect group because you do not want to die alone. Okay, just yes, so in summary, if you remember, delight in the Lord. It's an invitation. Let's adjust our attitude and our activities. And the last bit. Yield by faith. I'm going to ask the worship team, let's sing that, the first song that we sang, No Longer Slaves. And I'm going to invite all of us. I think this sermon, is your take home, is all about trusting in the Lord. We often say, I trust you, Lord, but it's hard to apply in our daily lives, isn't it? To trust Him for our health, for our promotion, for our career, our livelihood, our jobs, our studies, our relationship. But I think God is telling all of us, trust me, do not fret, delight in me. And I'll give you the desires of your heart. Do not fret. Do not be anxious. Release your anxieties to God. release your worries, your troubles before a good, good God. And we are not slaves to our work or to fear or comparing ourselves to other people, because we are children of God. God is here. He is your Abba Father. He loves you so deeply. I just want to give this moment for you to just talk to God, to your daddy God, Abba Father. Release your anxieties, all your worries. Give it to Him. He's a good God. Trust Him. I'm going to, let's sing this song, and shall we rise? And it's a wonderful opportunity for prayer as well. If you feel you want prayer, we'd love to pray for you. The ministry team will be here, especially on the issue of trust. A great burden that is enslaving you in a way, and you just want to release it to God. We would love to pray with you. Just come. As we sing this song, just come up from your pews and just go down to the communion rail, and people will be here to pray with you. Let's sing the song.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance.